The challenges of sharing water resources isn't new to the United States and Canada. Back at the turn of the 20th century, farmers in Montana and neighboring Alberta fought over diverting water to and from the St. Mary River. The Boundary Waters Treaty settled the dispute.
But the U.S. and Canada also created the International Joint Commission in 1909 with the aim of preventing future water conflicts.
Today, the commission issued a new report called Protection of the Waters of the Great Lakes. It's a hot topic as leaders from the Great Lakes states and Canadian provinces are currently considering the City of Waukesha's application to divert Lake Michigan water.
The commission doesn't weigh in on that critical decision, but policy advisor Dave Dempsey tells environmental reporter Susan Bentz the report is intended to evaluate how the Great Lakes Compact is holding up. Dempsey talked about what led to the Great Lakes agreements.
Back in 1998, there was a Canadian company that received a permit from the Ontario government to ship water in freighters to Asia, and that caused a major uproar in the Great Lakes Basin amongst citizens particularly. And it just raised the question of whether there was enough protections in place to prevent the Great Lakes from being piped or shipped outside the basin and perhaps lowering significantly the waters of the Great Lakes, causing damage to the Great Lakes. So at that time, in 2000, the commission was asked by the U.S. and Canadian government to study the issue and recommend any improvements that would be needed to protect the Great Lakes from water transfers through freighters or pipelines and so forth. And somewhat coincidentally, but I think with impetus from the commission's report, the states and provinces of the Great Lakes Basin began negotiations on a binding agreement to do just that, to protect the waters of the Great Lakes from diversions and harmful major uses. And in 2005, they negotiated a compact, a legally binding agreement amongst the states, the Great Lakes states, and it was ratified by Congress in 2008. And at the same time, an agreement was ratified with virtually the same clauses that also included Ontario and Quebec. Under U.S. law, those provinces couldn't be part of the compact, but the states, in essence, are treating the provinces as full partners. And so the two agreements are compatible and comparable. And we, the commission, in its 2000 report, recommended that the commission in the future review its recommendations and report on whether they were being actually implemented. And we did a review back in 2004 and just completed a review in 2015 that's being released now.
What has been learned since 2000, since that original report? What stands out as important information that is coming out of this report today?
Well, I guess a couple of things. One is that the region has pursued a very sound strategy to protect the lakes. We think that in 15 years, the region's come a long way. It's actually probably the leading region in the country in terms of building a legal defense to protect its water supply. We do recommend that the states and provinces strengthen those defenses by incorporating something called the public trust doctrine into their protections for the lakes. And that's a legal principle that, in common law, that it's, in essence serves as a backstop for the compact. In other, it would assist the states and provinces in the event that the compact was found legally deficient by any court. So that's important, we think, could be an additional helpful measure beyond the compact.
When I read that, I was surprised in that I would have assumed the public trust doctrine would have been folded into the heart of the compact because the waters belong to all citizens. It's no one community's or no one company's, no one country's waters that need to be sustained and shared and preserved for generations to come. Is that right?
Well, it's not explicitly stated in the compact, and the compact legally has a different footing than the public trust doctrine. One is, in essence, statutory law, and one is common law. So they are complementary, but not identical.
So how would that be achieved?
Well, each jurisdiction or each state and province would need to articulate that principle in its own statutes and policies protecting the lake. So it would be an individual action as opposed to a collective action.
So would it be that element as well as the need of ongoing management and additional scientific advances and monitoring? Are those the key points of what the commission report is outlining?
Yeah, it may be a poor analogy, but I guess we feel like there's a strong defense line around the lakes that's been drawn, but these suggestions that we're making would add reinforcement and further strengthen the arsenal to protect the lakes.
And conservation is also mentioned in the report.
Yeah, the states and provinces actually are on their way to establishing some pretty good programs in terms of conservation technologies and legal requirements. One big hole, literally, in that effort is the leaking infrastructure in the basin. You know, we're losing enormous amounts of water leakage into the ground, principally from ancient, antiquated systems throughout the basin. And to the extent that we're sort of cavalierly allowing that kind of waste to go on, weakens our argument against diversions, because obviously we have to show we're husbanding our water carefully if we're going to suggest that others can't have access to the water. You know, this is a problem nationally, but it's certainly a problem in the region. And there's not a direct tie to this disaster that's going on in Flint, except that the pipelines there, just like in many communities across the basin, are very old and need to be updated. And it's going to take a large investment of money. So, you know, one of the implications is that we're going to have to make some investments in upgrading our water infrastructure.
I believe the 2000 report, the IJC's recommendation was that, you know, back to diversion, that no removal be made unless that applicant can demonstrate that it would not endanger the integrity of ecosystems and other conditions.
Yes, that's one of the successes that we believe has been achieved in the compact. The standard actually in the compact is a little tougher than what the IJC recommended in 2000. So it's a recommendation that's been met and exceeded.
What's the most important takeaway from this report for the public and for those whose job it is to steward the Great Lakes?
Well, you know, I talked to another reporter about this, and I said, I know it's really hard to make a story out of good news, but that's essentially what we're talking about here. The recommendations that we're making are not to turn the existing structure upside down and start all over again. We were essentially issuing a report card on our own recommendations made 15 years ago and finding that the progress has been dramatic, that the system created to make decisions about diversions and consumptive uses is a very strong one, perhaps a model, and that through some additional improvements in legal protections and scientific research can be made pretty close to foolproof. So it's, and again, as it relates to Waukesha, we don't take positions on diversion proposals, but I think the takeaway is that citizens of the region can be very confident that the framework for decision making is strong and that the ultimate decision will be based on good science and good principles.
The commission will revisit this report in another 10 years.
Yes. I'll be hopefully off in the retirement home by then, but the commission plans to do this every 10 years for the foreseeable future.
Dave Dempsey is a policy advisor to the International Joint Commission. He spoke with Susan Bentz, and you can find a link to the IJC's report at wuwm.com.